You ready to begin this evening's meeting of the Finance and Facilities Committee, March 24th, 2014 at 6:30. Would you please take a moment and review the meeting minutes from March 10th? Let me know if they meet with your approval.
I'm good with them.
Okay.
Thank you.
Then the next two items will be Mike Wood, Director of Technology. So, Mike, I'll let you start your presentation.
Thanks. I've got a couple things, and if it's okay, I'm going to go out of order on what's on the agenda and start with the document cameras. And I guess, first, do you know what a document camera is? Have you used those before? Are you familiar with
them? I've never used one, but I understand what they are.
Yeah, okay. And there's a lot of documents to the document camera.
I read all that. There can be, and I could include something from one of the teachers at Churchill to kind of list out some of the uses that they have in the classroom level.
I took my personal, I took a survey of the one child I have that would use it.
How did that survey come out?
She uses it. They use it in their classroom.
Roll it out to the district.
Those results are statistically significant.
I asked if it was worth the dollar amount. She asked, what? No, I didn't do that.
Well, yeah, they do get used quite
regularly. Yeah.
And we've got kind of an uneven distribution of the document counts. We've had them for about 5 years, but some have been purchased with PEP grants, some through curriculum adoptions, other resources as well. So it's something that teachers and principals have been asking for as part of like the standard classroom set of technology for quite a while. It's just one of those things that I haven't quite gotten around to fleshing that out, and I was hoping to be able to do that this year. According to a survey of the teacher or the principals, rather, of how many they would need to kind of close that gap with the other buildings, total amount would be 82. That's for all five schools, and that would get them up to a level that they feel comfortable that they have enough to go around to fill the need. At Hadley, it's only about 25 that they're requesting, but the grade schools are somewhere comparable to each other as far as how many they would still need. And we look to purchase these as a one-time buy out of the budgeted funds for this year. It's a slightly smaller model. That's the current model that we have right there on the on the table. So those run about $600 to $700, depending upon which model you get. We were looking for something a little bit smaller, more compact, more mobile, and more cost-effective. And the new model that they came out with, the M01. It's much smaller footprint. It collapses down. It's quick, easy setup. It's a single USB cable that powers it and connects it. And so that's the one we landed on. So those were $319 a unit. After we had gone through a couple of different vendors to get some pricing. So for 82 at $319 a unit, total cost would be $26,158. As I said, we'd be paid out of budgeted funds.
What's the useful life?
I would say these would have at least 5 to 7 years. We've had some that have been out in service for quite a while. They're fairly robust, even if they're as small as they are. And they generally tend to hold up, at least the ones that we've had. The only thing we run into from time to time is software, where it butts against one software won't work with the other. But for the most part, they've been a pretty solid model for us. Five years we've been using them.
And there's no servicing of them and any of that?
No, software comes with it. We could depot service it through the vendor. We haven't gotten to a point where we've had to do that yet. Generally speaking, once they're in, they run. I'd say the biggest expense that we wind up running into afterwards is the power cable got lost. And I know those can usually be about $30 to $40 to replace. But with the unit we're recommending, it doesn't require a power cable. It just requires a USB cable, which are plentiful.
So this goes against the whiteboard, Mike? That was the idea?
Correct. It will interface with the projector, which will hit the smart board, so they all work in correlation. And all of that gear is already in place. So it really is just a matter of plugging it into the computer itself.
Would we get rid of anything?
No, this would actually be an addition.
So do you feel, though, that teachers, if they're showing something on the screen, are they not then hopefully not making copies of stuff, hand it out, or not?
Ideally. I think our poor teachers still have so much printed materials, whether they're books or other literature that they have, that they like to be able to, in the moment, be able to put that underneath, or even being able to do illustrations or model for students.
I understand why they use it. understand that. And if a child does something, a student does something, then they can show the whole.
Correct.
They don't have to go get a copier and then make 40 copier.
Right.
40. I just did class sizes.
But yes, 21 copies.
Yeah, it would help me.
So, but that just doesn't happen because they're not running to the copier and doing that. I would hope that as you make a major purchase like this and you're changing the culture of the schools to be more IT friendly, that they then will take the next step and say, you know, I don't need to make 21 copies of this because I could just put it right here on this whiteboard. And my kids, what do they do with this piece of paper? Do they take it home and show mom and dad? Do they actually use it? Or does it end in the circular file?
Right.
You know, to me, you know, it seems needed. I've been in the classroom. I've seen them used. It doesn't seem that expensive. But you got to change the culture to where they're being used not only for 20% of what they can do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's when you start, technology's not used at 100%. You know, I don't use my phone even at 20%, quite frankly. But, you know, just more and more. So, I mean, I think that's important for us to make sure that that's getting out there, that they will be used. Because, I mean, $26,000, you know, it's...
Oh, I'm sure they'll be used. I'm just as concerned
use
about
where they're
consumption.
Reducing the cost.
Where they're used, so they reduce something else on the budget line item, which I can see where it could, you know.
That's how they paper.
Yeah.
And are we dealing with some of with these devices, they also can take a capture image, so you could save that as a digital file.
Mm-hmm.
So if this was something that maybe you wanted to use either through the course of the year or even bring back for certain blocks of your curriculum later on, you could save it. So you would have it and have it available to you. So I would even see a device like this down the road being phased out in favor of everything being digital. But we're not quite at that point yet. I'd see that being still 5 to 10 years away before we really say we can really reduce a good percentage of our printing. But ideally, yes, I'd like to see this also be a device that can help us do that.
Okay.
So $26,000 one-time shot for 7 years?
Correct.
And we have it in our fund balances now. You have that in your IT fund balances now?
Yeah, actually, we kind of worked it out with the principals over the course of the year. We've gone back in conversations about this was a need of theirs, and then I asked, well, how are we going to pay for it? And most of the principals had reserved some funds in their budget. Whatever they couldn't cover, I would cover the balance. So there's some investments from the buildings on this.
What's the percentage? 26 is 50,
I would say 50. The majority of it will be paid by the principals.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good.
Yep. Yeah.
They have, that's a priority of theirs, and they're using it for that.
Yeah. They put their money where their mouth is.
We really felt like that was an important piece because they've been championing the Elmos, the doc hammers all year. They were like, okay, Mike, let's do this. And Mike's been great of saying, hey, we've got some other priorities here as well. So if this is something that you want, we're going to have to work together. So he's done a nice job of bringing everybody together on this issue.
And it's equitable, Mike. Is everybody getting what they're asking for?
This is based on the principal's needs and the numbers they gave. This is really the principal's recommendation
or
request.
I'm good with it. I made my general comment in the email regarding the one other IT thing that came up on a check, and this has been said before, but I'm going to continue to repeat myself because I think it's an important point. It's just, you know, there's a lot of IT that gets thrown at us, and we have to do it in a more, you know, global approach.
Macro.
Because I'm sitting here, and I know you understand it all, and you can kind of, you know how it all fits in. Puzzles in your head, you understand it. I'm not an IT guy, so I can't see where it all fits in. I don't know what the history of everything is, from what hardware, what software, how it's used and all that. So I get it, and I don't get overwhelmed by it, but I'm like, you know, personally, if this happened where I'm in charge, you know, and I know we're in charge somewhat at the finance, but I mean, in my business, you know, I just start saying no because it's too much for me because it's just coming one piece at a time. Pull back, show me how the whole thing works globally so I can see where it fits in, and then I can ask better questions because I don't feel like I can ask good questions. How does this fit with this? How does this fit with that? where do you see the next 5 years? You explained to us that, you know, we probably won't be using them 7 years. They have about a 5 to 10 year useful life. That's perfect. But to me, and maybe it's just that I'm new, but I like to look at it and say, and understand and ask the right good questions. What do you see in 5 years? Because maybe there's something else out there. Maybe I don't have all the solutions or potential options for us as a district from an IT standpoint.
And that's something we have committed to the board in my evaluation, that we will be bringing you whole pieces of the budget.
Right.
So you see them together. You see all of Mike's IT pieces together as one. So you can make those connections. You can make the connections to other finances that we're committing to. So you see how the technology connects to teaching and all of those pieces. I absolutely agree with you. We've got to get to a more holistic piece for the board members to see it.
And I recognize that you've...
But I'm always happy to answer questions. You can call, send an email, whatever's more convenient
for you. And the questions won't come, though. That's what I'm trying to...
Yeah.
I can't give you the questions because, like, on the facilities, unfortunately for some, I can understand that you can give me pieces of those, mm-hmm. and I can do the puzzle. I may miss something if it's not presented mm-hmm. properly. But to me, I can do that because my mind's wired like that. There's a there for you for the IT stuff.
Well, with the next recommendation, I can give you a good deal of history.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not the history. Maybe I'm not doing a good job, but it's how everything works together. It's not that we used to be here in 2000 and we're mm-hmm. here in 2008, and this is where I see us going in 2018. It's more like, you know, I would say, well, why didn't we have those before? You know, if we knew they were going to be used. Obviously, we didn't do a good job projecting how much they were used. You know, that's just the reality, because you're coming with a recommendation now that everybody says it's a priority. And I understand that. Maybe they didn't know how they were going to be used because they've never used them. That certainly could be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're at Chromebooks. We're here, there, before. And I'm not trying to nitpick this or criticize. It's just when I see it, it's coming at me with these little bursts.
Yep.
And not all together. And I always go back, well, I just have questions then, and my questions would be, and they're just like, why didn't they have this before, if it's so important? They didn't know. You know, it's not the only answer I can say.
Well, at the building level, why didn't we do this sooner?
Right.
Well, mainly because of other competing interests is why we couldn't do a bigger rollout.
So what interest did they meet last year?
Well, last year we invested in 1,800 laptops, another 150 iPads, 320 printers. So that's a fairly big investment for the district. That was about $1.2 million.
Now I get started getting nervous, Patrick. You see where I'm going with this, right?
That's why we need to...
Boom, boom, boom. It's like, okay, what's next? It's not integrated. It's just all just piecemeal. But this is what we feel we need today. Well, this
short-term.
A good business says, here's what we feel we're going to need. And this is why... And we have to get the culture of the people that are using it to understand what they need the next generation or how they're using it. Because maybe they're only using it at 20% level. And that gets me nervous, to make a $26,000 investment when I'm only going to use 20% of it. In IT, I understand. Usually you want to use $26,000 worth of it. In IT, it's never that. This thing does a lot more than what people use it. I understand. So you have to discount that. But just, I'm fine with it. They're used. But just in the future, as we discussed, it's much more where it's all in a global approach to what we're doing. So then we can move to the next budget, 14-15, and then 15-16, and we can see how all this evolves. Yeah. And I know it's unfortunate that these things have very big, short shelf life. They're not basketball shoes. But their shelf life is really short.
And the shelf life gets shorter every year.
Right.
You know, there used to be desktops we would buy, and we'd have them in service in place here for 10 years. Mm-hmm. They were tanks. Same thing with the printers. They last forever. But these devices are not designed that way. It's not part of their business model to have them live forever. The hardware is not really designed to last forever, and then the software outpaces the hardware.
And plus new things come along that are better. Right. I mean, that's technology. I understand.
And I think that might kind of goes to what I think you probably have a foundation for, is the refresh plan, mm-hmm. to get to that, replacing the hardware, the the easy part. It's the software that keeps going leaps and bounds.
And finding the hardware fit that's going to work with the software platforms that you've got in place already or that you have in mind and rolling out.
I don't want to reiterate everything that Joe said, but I agree with it. If we have the picture, and every board has, you know, the vision of what you think that the picture is, but maybe we just haven't seen it. And, you know, we get the update that says the long-term vision plan is to do this, and, you know, yeah, that's true, but if you tell us, this is where I'm taking this, this is where I want to lead the technology of this organization. This is school, pardon me, wrong junction.
To the organization.
I think we would feel more comfortable, and we're not. And I agree with Joe. I'm okay with this, and I'm not uncomfortable with it. But when you get the small nuances, you're making good recommendations. But is it the overall best recommendation of the vision that you guys want to drive this towards?
Thank you. So. And I'm always happy to give you a more in-depth overview of the district and the plan, the plan for the future for technology. You're actually the leasing schedule that I shared with the Finance Committee, it's been at least a month ago now.
Good.
That kind of lays out at least the big dollar purchases that we're planning and how those do kind of project out over the next 5 to 10 years, what we do plan on spending the dollars on. And it kind of dovetails into the other recommendation, which is for the device refresh at Hadley. Mm-hmm. And at Hadley right now, speaking of piecemeal, rollouts. I mean, we've got a couple different rollouts that are at Hadley right now. We've got a fleet of 500 netbooks that were on a 3-year lease. That lease is coming to an end this summer. So those 500 netbooks are going to go back to the leasing company. We also have actually another 175, but I think there's only about 150 that are actually in use at Hadley right now. A different fleet of netbooks that are also coming off lease, and they'll go back to the leasing company this summer as well. We have a remaining 500 laptops that will have another year on that lease. So we'll keep those for another year, and we'll use those at Hadley for another year. But we're going to give back 670 of the laptops to the leasing company, so we're going to have a gap to fill in. So when we were looking at, well, how are we going to refresh at Hadley, this next rollout, would we go back to the same platform we've been using? Whether it's laptops or desktops or staying with the Windows product, the Microsoft product, or Apple. And then when you're looking at the cost of those devices, the cost of the software, the cost to manage it, it didn't make sense to continue on that path because there's a lot of cumbersome things that go along with those models. And what we're really trying to do as far as an overview is become more of a web-based or cloud-based culture, you know, which leads into the more paperless environment. So we wanted something that was going to be cost-effective and sustainable, but also be able to give us the opportunity to leverage the web as best we can. And over the last, I'd say, 5 years, we've migrated most all of our locally installed software. So aside from the Office product, we don't really install much locally on the machines that happen. So there's no reason to purchase a really heavy or high-powered laptop to run those things, or just to get on the Internet. So there are other more affordable options for that. Even our finance and our student systems are all web-based. So any major cornerstone product that we use that's IT-related is going to somehow be available to you through a web browser, which isn't going to require a whole lot of horsepower. So that's when we started looking at Google. We've been using Google for the last almost 2 years now in small pilots, and then we kind of rolled it out to Hadley in a much broader sense this year. And Chromebooks were the natural fit for that. They're designed to work with Chrome, or with Google. They're designed for that web experience, and they're still very cost-effective. So the model that we landed on is the Acer model, and that came in at, I believe, $265 per unit. Now, you can get those devices even less expensive than that. They're available for as little as $200. So I elected to go with a little bit more horsepower in this machine to have the performance because we're going to expect them to last for 3 years and we're going to expect them to do a certain degree of multimedia. So it has a little better processor, has a little bit more memory, and has a little bit more storage on the hardware. So that's where you're seeing it's a little bit more expensive but still much more cost effective than the other devices that I also listed in that table. whether we want with an iPad or a laptop or with any other, with a different type of tablet like a Surface. It also makes it a much more affordable option, not just for the districts, but for the families of the districts. So if a family decided, well, they wanted to get a Chromebook or a device like that for their younger student at one of the grade schools, it's not such a hardship. It also makes it, I just think it makes it more accessible and more available to all of the community, not just the segment that can afford it. And we've already begun migrating most everything locally that we have for students and for our email to Google. As a matter of fact, we're going to transition over to Gmail over the spring break for all the staff and students that have it. So that's going to be our main platform, our main template that we work off of for IT, is going to be that cloud-based computing, which will save us, aside from just on the hardware costs, will also save us on server costs, because all those things that we used to previously store on servers that we house here, well, we're no longer going to store them here, which means we don't need that server anymore. The email server that we have had and maintained and refreshed several times, we won't need that server anymore. Basically, what we'll need is software licensing, but what we'll have, we have that already in place for things like our Exchange server for email. Those things, you know, we'll still need. We'll still need certain services with Google.
Are all our facilities up to par to meet all the what they're going to get as far as, because it's web-based, you've got to get on the Internet, so we have enough power within all the facilities, all bandwidth?
Over the last couple of years, we upgraded all of our wireless infrastructure throughout the district, wall to wall. Last year, we upgraded our Internet access, so we went from 20 meg to 250 meg on a scalable solution, so we can bump that up to 2 gig if we needed to. There's a cost that goes along with that. So there's a certain efficiency of use that we want to have in play as well. But with that upgrade, I wouldn't say we can use a third of that bandwidth right now. But we will see spikes here and there, but I wouldn't see it to the point where it's going to be capping out our limit. We stayed at 20 meg for 7 years, 8 years, before we were forced to upgrade our bandwidth. But we have a scalable solution that will allow us to do that fairly quickly.
So are we tied to Google pricing, price matrix, or anything like that?
Google is free. So
yeah,
Gmail,
but the cloud-based.
Gmail is free. Your storage is free for education.
Okay.
What we do pay for is and it's included in the report, there's a $30 licensing fee that you pay for the device. And what that does is it ties it to our domain. Our Google domain is a closed domain, which means that students can't email or receive email from outside the domain. They can only receive from inside the domain. Mm-hmm. So that for us to be able to control and manage those devices, that we need that. We've also moved our archiving solution from a locally housed server that would archive all of our email. Every email that comes in and out of here gets saved and archived. That we won't need anymore. We'll keep it in place to store our email, but we won't need it moving forward. So there's a service that Google offers that will archive our email for us. So, and I believe that was about $4,000 a year that we would pay for that. So there are certain charges that you will pay for, but there's certain licensing that you'll save on. So things like McAfee or any kind of antivirus, well, we don't need those for Chromebooks. So that's a fairly sizable cost for the district. So as we add some of these other licenses, we're still saving on some of the licenses that we pay for anyway with the current structure.
So, again, to Joseph, that's kind of some of the stuff I'd like to see, too, is you're moving forward with 266 for cloud-based computing, but you're getting rid of some of the server space, you're getting rid of some of the McAfee licensing requirements that we're going to have.
Right. So we're losing some of that. It also provides for a more kind of hardware-agnostic environment, mm-hmm. where you're not so tied to, I have this specific device, and I need this specific device to do my work. You can use any device that will get you on the Internet and get you to Google. And that will get you your work, to your email, to your collaboration tools, to all of that, plus your research.
So maybe, Mike, to the full board, when we present this to the full board, some of that cost savings, when we talk about that, can be presented to that, because it's, again, it looks like an expense going out the door, but what you can also see is the savings.
And if you look at
production on the other side.
Just good planning.
Yeah.
That's what we have to show.
And if you look at the previous rollout of those 675 devices, I believe the total cost of that was about $118,000 per year for our lease cost. So there's a savings just based on the last week that we rolled out. Now, the other big difference in this model is in the past, one of the reasons we had this kind of hodgepodge of equipment was because we really devoted equipment to either a logistical space in the building or a program. So really, you're buying equipment to how many desks and chairs you have in the building. And you have a lot more desks and chairs than you have kids. So what we're going to do next year is we're going to assign the device to a student. So rather than saying this is a device for the science class in room 318, this is going to be this student's device now. That doesn't mean they take them home. That's not going to happen right now. We'll still store them and secure them here in the building. But every day that student knows, I have my device, and they can get that, and they'll have that through the day. And that's one of the reasons we have a case on there as well.
What changes for us as a district that allows the students to take these devices home?
Well, I think there's a certain comfort level at the building level in particular, and that they have to get accommodated or acclimated to this model. This is going to be a shift for the staff as well, with every student having a device and basically walking the halls and going from class to class with that device. So I think there's a certain comfort level that they'd like to have before we start having students bringing the devices home, as well as the guidelines and parameters that go around that, because that also opens up other issues, other challenges that go along with bringing your own device or a one-to-one kind of a rollout.
What are the issues?
Well, first, how will we manage them? So how we manage them right now, particularly for filtering, because we were required to have some kind of internet filter, which we do, and it's housed here. When a student brings it home, at this point, I couldn't guarantee that we could filter the text. So if a student brings that device home, they can pretty much surf wherever they want. Now, then the question comes, well, do we rein that in? And do we, even when they're at home, monitor and censor everything that they do on the internet? So, and who's that going to make happy and who's going to make unhappy? As opposed to, a student having the opportunity to just surf what they want. So I think there are other things, other conversations that need to be had with the community as well before we would move forward with bringing out a full one-to-one and allowing students to bring them home. But I would certainly think that within the next year those are conversations that we can have.
So what's the instruction model for this? I don't know. If I have a Chrome, I'm a student, I got a Chromebook. Am I just now looking at a screen and I'm not looking at my teacher? Is that the model we're going to?
I guess potentially, depending on what's going on in the class at any given time. Another tool that we're going to include with this is a monitoring tool for teachers so they can also see what their class is doing, so they can see what's on their display. But I'm not an expert on this part of it, but a lot of research that's done within the building already in Hadley, a lot of document creation. Google comes with its own suite of document creation, things like a Word or Excel or a PowerPoint type of product is also included with the package. So they'll still be working on that, and the teacher's comfort level, I would assume.
This isn't a trick question. I just thought about it. But if that's the case, do the Hadley teachers still need the portable device?
Which one? The document?
The Elmo?
The Elmo.
They might not need it as much, but at Hadley there was a much lower demand for them.
Okay.
So I think they were mainly targeting their LA department, which has used it quite a bit.
Okay.
And those are the ones that had them before. So at Hadley, we're really not looking at having one in every classroom like we are at the elementary.
Okay.
So one of the pieces, that Google does for us is within their Google Drive, students collaborate on a piece of work together. So we've seen kids literally writing at the same time. The document is being created together. It's a very collaborative environment, even though it would feel like kids would be isolated. In reality, it becomes a more collaborative experience. We're seeing more textbooks going online, and not just textbook, turn the page. They're interactive. You actually see the video link right there that comes to life. We've seen school districts, schools create their own textbook from an open source, and some of the largest universities and most respected universities in the country and the world are creating open source documents from Stanford, Harvard, across the U.S. and in other countries. Universities are opening up their opportunity to say, here it is. Come in, look at it, In my former district, we did that with our science textbook. We had a group of teachers, probably 50 teachers, who created different levels of their textbook, and it was interactive. So now you're cutting cost of a textbook, and you really, when you think of textbooks going in and out of date so quickly, it has the potential to really be a game changer because the technology is there for us. Teachers and other experts are helping to design their textbooks to match the needs of their students. You can differentiate. That's the piece that I fell in love with, because these textbooks are generally made in Texas, Florida, or California. They're not, you know, everybody says, oh, these are individually crafted for every kid in Illinois or in Glendon. Yeah, no. But what I was able to see through an open source development of a textbook is a true differentiation, because I know who my kids are, and saying, oh, I've got a group of students who are just rocking the world and they need this piece of it. But some other kids may need some other resources within it. It's interesting how far we can take this. This allows us to really open up the world and beyond. It's how far do we as educators want to take it. Mike's given us the tools.
Yeah.
It's just, what are we going to do with these tools?
So we can do that.
We can. Seen it done. Yeah, it's pretty exciting time. And with the cost point that Mike has been able to bring with these, very impressive.
And do we have any Google collaboration? I don't know. I mean, with the school our size, I don't know if it's a small, medium, or large, Google says, yeah, we'll come in and do something to help your infrastructure.
And do that. Well, we have a rep that we work through regularly.
Oh, we did. Okay.
Yeah, that we're in contact with regularly just to make sure that we are up to standard and
getting what we need to get
this up and running, yeah. And also to manage the project. And then with the following rollouts, because this year what we would do is 860 is what I would anticipate needing for 6th and 7th grade. And so we would outfit the 6th and 7th graders with a Chromebook. We take those 500 laptops that we still have for one more year, and we'll use those for the 8th grade students. So they'll get the last year of those, and then when they leave, you know, they're gone. And ideally, when 6th graders come in every year, there'd be another refresh. So if it's 400, 420, however many students, we'd have to plan to refresh for those.
You're not getting any vendor negativity or feedback from our Apple reps or anything like that? I mean, we're going to Google Chrome. Hey, you know what? We may have to bump your prices up a little bit since the volume's going down. Anything like that?
From
any of our vendors?
No, I haven't heard any negative feedback.
Okay. That's good.
But as I say, every year then we've refreshed those 6th grade machines. And at the end of the 3 years the student would be there, they'd use that same machine all 3 years. So it would be theirs. So there'd be some accountability, there's some responsibility for the machine. And after 8th grade, we'd go back to the leasing company, be on that same 3-year cycle. So every 3 years, we would plan to refresh out, and then we bring in new equipment every year to keep it current.
And during that time, that's when we'll also be looking at the whole BYO, you know, bring your own technology, bring your own device, whichever terminology you want to use, so we can study a little bit more. You know, a couple of us, Sam and Erica, went to that DuPage ROE meeting where they brought two districts, one that is doing something very similar to ours, and another district that embraced the BYOD. So it's something for us to study and to kind of watch how others are dealing with that aspect of the technology, because I think it has an opportunity here in District 41 to maybe rely a little bit more on bringing our own devices. But that's maybe a couple years down the road once we kind of study it a little bit more and see the potential and the hazards that come with it. You know?
And it also gives us the flexibility to explore different models, different devices every year. Just because we're going with this particular device this year doesn't mean we'll go with the same one next year. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe something comparable, maybe a little bit less expensive, a little bit more feature-rich. This is an evolving technology as well. So every year it gets a little bit better, a little bit more more to it, and hopefully the cost stays agreeable.
Yes. I agree with that. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Anything else? Any other questions come up, please feel free to contact me. So that's really give and take.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to take
especially
Joe's. I'm just trying to see the world as it fits together.
Yep.
And appreciate it.
It's a good thing.
Okay, so the next order of business done this evening is the 2014 classroom furniture and equipment recommendation. This is the time of year when I bring you a recommendation in terms of what we've taken out for bid for classroom furniture and equipment. This is the fourth year of implementation. This will be the fourth year of implementation of the 21st century concept. And we envision one more year, meaning next year, the fifth year will be final year of implementation. What we presented you here with this evening is a focus on the K-12 or K-1 and finishing that off, and also some additions to the 2-5 program. We've met as a team on several occasions over the years, or over the year we get together, and what's working, what's not working. We found some good things and some bad things. So what we're doing is we're reapportioning or reappropriating certain pieces of equipment that we find working well at one level. We're pushing it to another level. So what I don't want to do is get into a situation where we find a group of equipment that's not working well. Then what do we do? That's why we've taken a prolonged, very careful approach for this implementation. It's been pretty expensive. This year we're looking for approximately $129,000 in the budget for this item. One thing that is omitted is some chairs. We need to find a substitute because when we came back, apparently discontinued. So I think there's only 15 chairs that we need to order. So something under $2,000 is what we'll add to this. But we've given you the results to that to the bids in total. As I said, it was about approximately $129,500. And again, this is something we do annually. This is built into the 14-15 budget, already putting those numbers in, and it fits well with the plan that we have for next year. So we're looking, obviously, to bring that to the Finance Committee this evening, ultimately to the Board for discussion and action at the two next meetings. And then we'll purchase, and we've found it works out a lot better for our system if we just get the equipment fully assembled. And the price point isn't that much of a significant difference. So any questions?
I have none.
So the construction, the construction that we're doing in the two schools in the next 2 years, that's not included in this, right?
We're
solely separate, right?
Yeah. Well, not buying any equipment for the new additions, if you will. That furniture is being reapportioned or reproportioned in the building at Franklin.
Okay.
We're going to ultimately get rid of four classrooms. So whatever furniture is there, we'll move into the new building. Same thing as the plan in Forest Glen, and same thing for Lincoln. Okay. And ultimately Churchill. So we have furniture spread throughout the district. You know, the net gain is really all we're doing is replacing bricks and mortar for a portable solution.
Yeah. Okay.
Or trailers, whatever you want to call them.
Portable solution. Reducing our reliance on portable.
So in 2014-15's budget, we won't see a 21st century furniture line item.
Actually, there is a line item that I put in there for furniture and fixture purchases, furniture and equipment purchases.
But it's a percentage of $130,000. Is that what you're saying? Because this 129 is in the budget now, right?
It's in next year's. Anything
it's in next year's budget.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything
it's all next year's.
Now
okay.
is for next year's budget. Anything Mike has been bringing you, except for maybe the dock cameras, everything is for next year's budget. So we've been building the budget, and this is just an item that's added to it. And typically, like last year, we spent about $275,000 on classroom furniture and then another $150,000 for the updated furniture that was needed in the Hadley Library. So around $425,000, $450,000 we spent last year on furniture and equipment for classrooms, the LMC, so forth.
And Patrick, to go back to your question, I think what you're seeing is kind of that bigger picture as well. We will, in years to come, we will bring you the whole budget together first, so you see how all these pieces fit together, and then the nuances behind them. Because I can see both of you are like, I get it. You know, all these little onesie twosies coming at you, you're approving them, but how does it fit into the larger overarching budget? So that will be how we will be going forward.
We see the big picture, and then we show it, and then all of a sudden...
And if you have questions from there.
Right.
Yeah, but you can always keep linking back up to the larger budget. Because you're making decisions, 127, 400,000, whatever it is, but how does it link to the larger? So that's what we'll have for you next year.
That's fantastic.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we can land
some. Fantastic. In June, right?
I'm going to be bringing you, hopefully, the start of our budget conversations, either April 14th or April 28th, wherever Bob and I kind of land on that piece.
For next year's budget.
For next year's budget.
And then, after conversations with Paul, our anticipation is September, October, November, we would start to present you with a budget for the following year so that you see the big picture first, and then you'd get sort of the drill down effect of how all this puts together. Because really, at least the practice that the district has used over the past several years, long before I got here, is we would bring you capital projects in August, September, October. We would bring you technology purchases, classroom furniture, and then that all rolls in to a presentation that we would ultimately give you in the springtime, where we're thinking, changing that up a bit, showing you a big budget, big picture budget, and bringing those pieces to you a little later in the year. Mm-hmm. Again, when we start that process, remember, I'll be developing a budget in September, October, November, but yet we won't even have a levy in place yet.
That's
the problem. Right.
But that way you're able to then better articulate the need for or against a levy. That's that whole idea of why we want to bring it to you sooner rather than later. So it'll be interesting. It'll be good conversations.
I like the direction.
And you know, one of the things, Paul, we got the final levy in. We got the final levy in today. Actually, I've got 1 week to change it. Okay, but essentially the locked-in numbers came in today, and it came in 0.15% from our original projection. From what I presented to you in December, that you approved in December, there was 0.15% difference between what we presented and what it actually came in at today.
What we thought it would come in.
Correct.
Not what we asked for, but what we thought it would come in.
Right, I gave you what we asked for.
Yeah.
And then what we thought it would come in at, and that difference was right around $60,000.
Wow.
On a $48 million bet.
Wow.
Pretty close.
Works for the number guys, but you know, the non-number guys have been.
They don't know. Yeah,
that's pretty significant.
Right on the money.
That's pretty good.
My bet is Joe has a question.
No, I just was follow up on two things. One, because I took time to review all this. But the college nannies check I asked a question about, what are we doing? Why are we paying them $2,100?
And you know what? I did not get to that today.
Do you know? That's part of our required Title I supplemental education services that we have to provide. We have to offer free tutoring.
SES.
For that purpose at your choke, and college tutors and nannies or nanny tutors is one of our SES providers.
So they come in and they provide tutoring.
Their
name is College Nannies.
Yes.
And I'm just going to continue to make this comment because I figure redundancy sinks in after a while. Come, you know, a 6-year-old, I get a birthday, 8-year-old. So I go through the PTAP or whatever we call it, not PTAP, but the credit cards. And I like the fact, I really like when people buy their gas or buy their hardware in Glen Ellen, because we represent mostly Glen Ellen constituents and the sales tax comes in. So I know we have a little bit of Wheaton in there, but it's such a small part. If we're going to, and I have nothing against Ace Hardware and Wheaton, but to me, there's a lot of people we can go right here in Glen Ellen. I just think it's important for the taxpayers of most of our district to have that. I understand when they're buying gas that sometimes it may be on their way home, or we only have a couple of people, but two of them buy it in the district, and two of them buy it. One buys it in Carroll Stream. I think both of them buy it in Carroll Stream. So my request is that unless there's some overriding reason that we're wasting money for them to do this, you know, because they're going out of their way and the cost to do it outweighs what I like to see, I think we ought to continue to buy on Elmo with our dollars, because they're coming from the taxpayers, and then we're giving back.
It's a double-edged sword, right? It's kind of like best execution.
If it's best execution, I understand.
Yeah.
If you're not going to spend $10 so that you can get $2, and I understand that. I'm not asking that.
Oh, okay.
I'm not asking for that. I understand efficiencies, and I'm definitely not asking.
Be aware of.
Try.
You know, like for once,
I appreciate it.
There was a long time when we were buying more food, but clearly we're not buying as much food as that. Which I want to say that we're not, and that's a good thing. But I remember seeing a bill when I first got on here. There was a Panera, where it was a huge thing, $120. Somebody bought from Panera in Schaumburg. Yeah, I know the person lives in Schaumburg, and it's on their way here. But I know which school it was. And the one on Roosevelt Road, the Panera's in Glen Ellen. And to me, you should have stopped at the Glen Ellen Panera to buy the $120 and get the, whatever it was, $10 of tax back into the Glen Ellen. Now, that's only half of Glen Ellen that we serve, but at least those dollars, there were taxpayers. They're being spent here. You know, that's how I see it, but that's how my mind works.
Okay.
Yeah.
Duly noted.
Any questions, comments for this evening?
Those BMO will be posted?
BMO. No, we get to.
Yeah. I used to work there.
And generally speaking, as long as time allows, as soon as the board approves them, we post them. But been a little busy, not making excuses, been a little busy in our office. So we post them just as soon as we get an opportunity.
Okay.
Can we adjourn?
You adjourn?
We are adjourned.
Thank you, Bob.